Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, what's up now?
Brother,
what's up? This is a stupid party, man.
Yeah,
I can dig it.
Stop. Right on.
Brother, brother, there's far too many of you dying. You know we've got to find a way to bring some loving here today. Yeah. Father, father, we don't need to escalate. Don't punish me with brutality. Talk to me so you can see.
Talk show, the Eddie Justice Jones Radio Talk Show, where we talk about civil rights, constitutional rights, human rights, your rights, my rights, and our rights, because we all have rights. And boy, do we have a show for you. We always have a wonderful show for you. We always have a fantastic show for you. Every single Monday, we talk about civil rights issues. We talk about constitutional rights issues. I saw a video over the weekend that was, I mean, it actually brought me to tears. And there was a young lady, she was in, I believe it was Walmart, and she was with her son, and her son had to be about maybe 8 or 9 years old. What's up, Shannon Jones? What's going on? What's going on? What's going on? Good morning. Good morning, family. How are you? Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. So I'm watching this video. Hey, good morning, Felita Wiltz. How are you? God bless you. God bless you, Felita Wiltz. And I'm watching a video, young lady comes out, she's coming out of Walmart, and one of the workers walks up to her and slaps her groceries out of her hand. What's up, Monica Whitley? How are you? God bless you. God bless you, too. Amen. Praise the Lord. Sister Moni Scott, how are you? Minister Moni Scott, God bless you. Welcome to the show. So she's walking out the store with the groceries and her 9-year-old son, 8 or 9-year-old son. One of the workers comes up, an Asian guy, and knocks the groceries out of her hand and says, "You're stealing. You're stealing." She went ballistic, and she said, "I'm stealing because my son is hungry. My son is hungry. He hasn't eaten any food. He's hungry," and I'm getting all emotional all over again. She's crying and she's screaming, "My son is hungry. My son is hungry. He's hungry." And I'm telling you, this video went viral. It went viral, and everybody was commenting on it, saying, "God help us all, and what are we going to do about the state of the world right now? People are hungry. People are starving, and we don't even know it. Right here in America, people are starving right now, right here." And I watched that video like 4 or 5 times, and every time. But finally, a guy came up and said, "Ma'am, how much is it? How much? I'll pay for it." An innocent bystander came up to her. Good morning, Minister Moni Scott. Came up to her and said, "Calm down, ma'am, calm down. I'm going to pay for it for you." Now, the video went off after that. I don't know if he paid for it. I'm sure he probably did. But just to watch a video like that where a mother is stealing groceries, not no products or nothing, not lipstick or nothing like that. She put some food in a bag, and she was walking out of Walmart. The guy knocked it out of her hand and said, "You're stealing." And she just, I think she just completely lost it. She had a nervous breakdown right there. She said, "I'm stealing because I'm trying to feed my son. My son is hungry. My son is starving. My son is hungry." And she was crying and screaming at it. I mean, to the top of her lungs. And so it was a very emotional video to watch. But the reality of it is that's what's happening in our world right now as we speak. Right now, there are people right here in the United States that are starving right now. That's a civil rights issue. Nobody should be starving in the United States of America. As much money as our country has, nobody should be starving. Now, when you go to Canada, the government in Canada makes sure that everybody has Medicare. Everybody has medical. It's free. When you go to Canada, when their workers work, they are mandatory to have to take a nap. They have masseuses come in and rub their shoulders in the middle of the day. I love my country, but nobody should be starving in America, period. End of story. I'm going to leave that right there. I'm going to get our guest in just a moment. We have a very, very heavy, some heavy topics today. They're going to touch you, and they're going to touch a lot of people. And so welcome to the show. If you want to call into the show, you dial 646-787-8064. 646-787-8064. If you want to say something, press 1. It'll put you in the queue, and you can make a statement about what I just shared with you, because it was terrible, and I hated to see it, but that was just unbelievable to hear a mother screaming at the top of her voice, "My son is hungry. My son is starving. He has to eat." And we all have to eat. We all have to eat. Nobody should be starving in America. No one. Anyway, without further ado, let's get in our co-host. Let's get in my sister Vera Jones, co-producer Vera Jones. Good morning. Oops, I hit the wrong button. Good morning. Good morning, Vera. How are you this morning?
Good morning, Eddie. Good morning to all the co-hosts and the listeners. Happy Monday. I am doing wonderful. Thanks for asking.
Amen. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Now, I'm so happy. Let's get in Clarence M. Allen. Good morning, Brother Clarence M. Allen, co-producer. How are you this morning?
Good morning, Pastor Eddie. Good morning, Granny V. Good morning to the rest of the panelists. Good morning to all our listeners throughout the world, giving God thanks for another great morning. We are in the ride, the Eddie Justice Jones Blog Talk Radio ride, the greatest ride every Monday morning from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. Check your time conditions and time zones. Pastor Eddie, so much has been happening throughout this world, man. Gun violence, car accidents, people losing their mind. You just mentioned a lady want to feed her kids. And you know, nobody has empathy or even sympathy for her condition to want to help this woman, man. You know, we're going through it. I don't think, like Michael Jackson say, nobody really care about us. We have to care for ourselves, Pastor Eddie.
Amen. We sure do. Yes, we do. Now, welcome to the show, Brother Clarence and Mallon. Welcome to the show, Vera. And without further ado, let's bring in our co-producer, none other then Professor Reams. Good morning, Professor Reams. Welcome to the show. How are you this morning?
Good morning, Pastor Jones. Doing just fine. We're content, blessed as we move forward on our regular Monday. Good morning, Dr. Granny V. The doctor's in the house and looking forward to your wonderful segment, as well as the regulator has already set down the focus for today. And so all I can say is, everyone, let's strap, sit down, and get your favorite drink and sit back and enjoy and the topics that we're going to talk about at the best blog talk radio program in the nation. So let us strap in and get ready for a ride. Good morning, everyone.
My name is James and Claire.
Now I want to share something with you guys, and it's really, really near and dear. One of our topics is, according to the census, 3.8 million renters will likely be evicted in the next 2 months. Our topic is, according to the Census Bureau, 3.8 million renters will likely be evicted in the next 2 months. That means October and November, in the next 2 months, September, October, and November, renters, 3.8 million renters will be evicted from their places. Okay, this is we're going to talk about this. So, Professor Reams, if you could do me a big favor, if you could pull up what's going on with the census and the 3.8 million renters likely to be evicted, and let's talk about why they're being evicted. And it has to do with COVID-19, but it also has to do with the government and all the funding that they had, that they still have, that they have not released to people who were promised that they would be taken care of by the government and they would not be evicted from their apartments. People are being evicted as we speak. So I'm going to let, while Professor Reams is looking that up and getting more information on that, because we're going to go deep on this, because this is very, very important. This has to do with your civil rights, your constitutional rights, your human rights. Can you imagine 3.8 million people being evicted from their home? What is that going to do to the court system? What is that going to do to the families? What is that going to do to the people who have been looking forward to having their rent paid and taken care of? But meanwhile, I'm going to make a phone call like, hey, Gloria Majors, how are you? Brother John Apollo Payne, what's up, my brother? How are you, man? Welcome to the Eddie Justice Jones Radio Talk Show, where we talk about civil rights, constitutional rights, human rights, your rights, and my rights, and our rights, because we all have rights. And right now we're going to talk about 3.8 million people being evicted from their homes in the next 2 months, 2.5 to 3 months. And that's that goes across the United States. And there's no color lines on this, okay? People are already being evicted as we speak since COVID-19 did not do everything. The funds that were there to help people, they're saying that they're there, but they can't use them until they're ready. Hey, good morning, Gloria Majors. How are you? Let's call a number. You know, on our show, we always call somebody. Let's dial a number right now, and let's see if we can get a special person in our studio.
Your call
right
has
now
been forwarded to an automated voice messaging system. 3-1-0-4-8-6-5.
Let's put that on hold. They're not there yet. Let's see what happens here. Let's try that one more time. Okay, we're going to wait a minute and try that one more time. But before we do, yeah, we're in a sad state of affairs. Minister Moni Scott said we're in a sad state of affairs. Now, our first topic is a very important topic, and I just want to read a little information for you. Census Bureau, 3.8 million renters will likely be evicted in the next 2 months. Why the rental crisis keeps getting worse? Why the rental crisis keeps getting worse? For the first time ever, the median rent in the U.S. topped $2,000 a month in June. We're talking about one bedrooms, okay? $2,000 a month for one bedroom. And the increases show no sign of stopping. These rising rents mean that households representing a total of 8.5 million people were behind on their rent at the end of August. Now, listen to me carefully. These are statistics. This is good information. This is not something we just picked up because we don't do that on this show. This is the real deal, Holyfield. There's no smoking guns on this show, okay? So listen to me carefully.
Oh, and Pastor? Pastor,
yes.
I'm ready to go when you're ready. Yes.
Okay. Give me 1 second, and I can't wait for Professor Reams. He's going to break it all the way down into layman terms so you can analyze and evaluate and comprehend and understand. The United States of America is in a crisis, and it's going to affect all of us. Okay, so total rising rents mean that the households representing a total of 8.5 million people were behind on their rent at the end of August, according to the Census Bureau figures. And 3.8 million of those renters say they somewhat or very likely to be evicted in the next 2 months. The combination of soaring inflation, the end of most eviction moratoriums, and rental assistance payments are relinquished. It says here, for those two physical assets, get in now before the super rich swarm. Because, see, what they're doing is they're separating the classes. It's not going to be rich, middle class, and poor. It's going to be rich and poor. That's what it's getting to, unfortunately. Rent is up nearly 25% since and before the pandemic. And this is – so what I'm going to do is I'm going to try this call one more time, and if they don't answer, then we're going to go right to Professor Reams to elaborate on this problem with renters being evicted, over 3.8 million and over 8.5 million people being behind on their rent since the month of August started. That's a lot of information, a lot. So let's try this call one more time. Let's see if we're going to get an answer.
Your call has been forwarded to an automated voice messaging system.
Okay. 3-1-0-4-8. No, we can't get through yet. So without further ado, Professor Reams, please take the floor. Talk to us about what the Census Bureau is saying about 3.8 million renters who are likely to be evicted. Go right ahead. Take the floor, yes. Professor Reams.
Thank you, Pastor Jones. Now, the Census Bureau has been working with another coalition which has been instrumental in focusing on this issue, and that's the National Low Income Housing Coalition, which began in 1974. And its focus was dedicated to achieving racially and socially equitable public policies that ensures people with lowest incomes have quality homes that are accessible and affordable in communities for their choice. So once again, this organization is the National Low Income Housing Coalition, which works with the federal government on providing data on how well or what's going on with federal programs that are going to be addressing both housing and also rental. Now, the issue that Pastor Jones has mentioned is correct as the causes, so I'll just repeat some of the things that he's already said. So the biggest issue that's cropped up happened prior to the pandemic. There was a slowdown in the availability of housing. So when you don't have not doing a lot of building and you have a population that's growing because we're over 330 million, then you're going to run into problems where if you don't continue to build, then you're going to have some shortages that are going up. So prior to the pandemic, those shortages were being noted. Now we get to the pandemic, and the government had to step in order to stop whatever was going on. So with the housing shortage there, it now pushes everyone who cannot afford a house to start renting in apartments or any other rental property that they go to. That would have been if it wasn't condos, it might have been mobile homes or anything else where they could afford it. But the biggest issue that it comes down to is income, because the National Low Income Housing Coalition indicated that income has not kept pace with the cost of housing. So a renter's income is $42,000, whereas the national medium average of income is $67,000. The coalition
Wow.
also provides a list of each of the states and how much it would cost to buy a one- or two-bedroom house. For example, in California, you would have to be making $82,000-plus to afford a two-bedroom house. And that would mean that less than that, $70,000 or so, or meeting the $67,000, to be able to purchase an apartment because of the rents going up. So because of that income discrepancy, that's where we're having the biggest problem. And as Pastor Jones mentioned, we also have the issue of where many of the programs that we're paying the landlords because of the pandemic are now ending within the next 2 months. And the coalition had been working with and continues to work with Congresswoman Maxine Waters that helped her to draft the $46 billion that was used to provide the funding for the assistance for housing. She also included another $150 billion to be able to include it to the Build Back Better. But because the Build Back Better wasn't approved and because of the issues of Joe Manchin and Kyrsten Sinema, that part was not even included. So what's going on in many of the different states is that you have the top 20 states that are good for low income that are trying to assist and have distributed the money properly. You also have the ones at the bottom that have only distributed half or some that haven't distributed at all for whatever reason. And a great deal of it comes back to the racial disparities, because the fact that this report, which just came out, indicated the causes of everything. A national housing shortage, extreme low rental vacancies because you don't have enough room in the apartment areas, unrelenting demand as young people continue to enter the crowded market. You also have folks, as I've mentioned before, making less than the median income. And then, of course, inflation pricing, which is pricing people out of homes and also of rent because everything is going up. You also want to add in the factor of climate change, because the resources that are needed to build these homes and to build these structures is becoming even costlier, which places a cost on the landlord, which also places a cost on the resources. So since we're also in a drought, water prices are going to be higher because of the fact that we are in the middle of a major, major drought overall, along with energy prices. So, and it also falls on racial lines, even though everyone's being affected. African-American homes have the highest burden of it at 55%. 53% is Latino households. And, of course, white households is 43%. But however, even bigger is for women of color, black and Latino, is 70% that will be facing major evictions. So the issue has been a major concern, which is why the coalition, along with many of the supporters in Congress, along with their partners, have been meeting with the president for this report. So that either the solution would be that if in 2 months we're going to have these problems, they can extend the support, the monies that have been funded to the states to continue to do it, or find a more permanent solution. But since this is an election year, it's hard to say what's going to happen until Congress gets back into session, which will happen in September. So this is where a civil rights issue, where the coalition and all are talking with Uncle Joe to say, okay, what can you do with housing? What can you do with the problem of homelessness? What can you do with all this money that you have and that you've already approved in order to resolve this issue? So it's a pending situation, so I would encourage all listeners to be able to deal with the National Low Income Housing Coalition in looking for members. You can also make donations, and it has all of the federal reports that it's sending on a monthly basis on what it's doing as far as dealing with housing. It also has that map of each of the states that you're living in to see how much your median income is for affordable housing. And so in doing that, this is where we are so far, so it's pending. And this is another issue where, as John Lewis tells us, we need to get into good trouble to address this issue. But it's not concentrated in just one state overall. It is pocketed in many states where either there's restrictions on how the money is distributed, or they've run out of money, or they just haven't distributed the money. So with that, Pastor Jones, I yield back to you.
Wow.
Thank you, Professor Reed.
Professor Reed, oh my gosh, you knocked it out the park. This information is pertinent, important emergency information that you need to allow to sink into the resonance of your heart and mind. Somebody you know right now, yes, somebody you know right now is going to be one of those ones that are going to be evicted. Somebody that's close to you, somebody's friend, someone you love is going to be evicted out of the 3.8 million. I want to read something to you. Evictions are up on an all-time high. According to the eviction lab at Princeton University, in August, evictions were 52% above average in Tampa Bay, Florida, 90% above average in Houston, Texas, 94% above average in Minneapolis, St. Paul, Minnesota. And the federal government knows it. HUD knows it. Low-income housing knows it. Section 8 knows it. They all know it. Can you imagine 3.8 million people with no place to stay? I mean, can you imagine the enormity of that, the giganticness of that, the pressure of that, the stress of that? We are keeping it in prayer. We are praying to God that something positive will come out of this for people who have been promised by these rental COVID-19 rental assistance programs. They have been promised that the funding is still there, that they will take care of them. However, this documentation that we're sharing with you and this information, good morning, Sheila Timberlake. Good morning, Moni Scott. Thank you, Shannon Jones, for your comment. That is so important that we realize, okay, for those who are just coming on, if you didn't catch our topic for this hour, Census Bureau says that 3.8 million renters will likely be evicted in the next 2 months. And why the rental crisis keeps getting worse, because the government, the money has been frozen. Now, don't get me wrong. They have a billion some odd dollars that has been allocated to help people with their rent who went through the COVID-19 process. And these rental assistance programs through COVID-19 is supposed to help people stay in their homes and not be evicted. From their, you know, whether you stay in a condo or you rent a condo or a townhouse or just a regular apartment. If you got into the rental assistance program and all of a sudden they said, well, we don't have the funding now and we won't have the funding, we're still waiting on the funding. So that means that you are supposedly protected. But this document says something completely different from what these renter companies are saying, the COVID-19 rental assistance programs are saying. So the rental assistance program is saying if you get an eviction notice or you get a 30-day quit or whatever, you're supposed to give it to the COVID-19 rental assistance program in your area, whether it be L.A. County or San Bernardino County or whatever state you stay in, whatever county you're in, they're supposed to be there to help you. But from what I'm reading to you right now, I think you better think twice about what your plans are. If they don't come through, it's going to be a sad day in America for over 3.8 million people. That includes mothers, fathers, women, children, and everybody. So then what? We have to depend on the government to do what? put us in a tent city? What? All I'm saying to you is preparation. An ounce of cure is better than a pound of I got to get it fixed. So you want that ounce of cure. You want to cure it before it gets to a pound, because then it's too heavy for you to have to deal with. That's all I'm saying. So let's go to some of our people. Oh, wait a minute. Hold on. Without further ado, there is my daughter, Talana Jones. Talana Jones, welcome to the show. How are you this morning? Good morning, Talana. Everybody say good morning, Talana.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning, Talana.
Good morning, my beautiful people. How are you all? Happy Monday, everybody. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it, and I am so glad to be here another Monday. I love you all, as I said earlier. Thank you to everybody who is listening. Shout out to everybody on Facebook and all of our co-hosts who are not with us. And good morning, Daddy.
Good morning, good morning. Now, we are talking about a subject that's deeper than the ocean, higher than the mountains and swifter than the rivers. Minister Moni Scott shouted you out, Talana. She said hello from Facebook Live. This is shocking. And, you know, this can keep you from getting a good night of sleep. Because if you can't sleep, if you're trying to figure out, I can't pay my rent. I've been promised by this COVID-19 rental assistance program that they were going to help me. And I'm really feeling like I'm hoping that the government does not want to look bad. They're supposed to come through on what they promised the renters. This pandemic has done some things to people that is unbelievable. And this is just the tip of the iceberg. We haven't even touched the surface of things that are going to transpire throughout this healing from the COVID-19. We haven't even gotten over monkeypox yet. We still are getting new strands of COVID-19. So COVID-19 rental assistance programs are not, they say that they're still in business. They're waiting on the funding. I'm shouting it out. Hey, government. Hey, Congress. Hey, House representatives. All y'all on the floor out there in Congress, all the way to the Supreme Court. Can you please not let 3.8 million people be evicted from their home? Come through with the COVID-19 rental assistance money and help your citizens of the United States of America. People want to wave that big old flag and say, I'm so proud to be an American. Nobody wants to be proud to be homeless. Nobody wants to be proud of being homeless. So I'm asking, step up, reach out, and touch the people of America across the United States and produce this funding so that no one has to be evicted from their townhouse, from their apartment, from any of those things, okay? I couldn't imagine what the world, this United States would look like with 3.8 million people being evicted. I just can't imagine. Let's go to Brother Clarence M. Allen. Clarence M. Allen, I'd like to get your opinion on what we just what we're discussing right now. Go right ahead, take the floor.
Well, to all our listeners and the panelists, this is a topic. This is a hot subject that we all have to face the reality of. There's only three living conditions that any one of us are in. We are either an owner or renter. Or we're living in an eminent domain situation, and that eminent domain situation is living on the streets. That is the last place where we can lay our head down if we can't find shelter, a place to rent, or a place to own. So, Pastor Eddie, I'm going to first commend you on such a hot button topic where the man in the mirror will have to look at him and the woman in the mirror will have to look at herself, and yes. We just have to face these harsh realities, because when we look at the rise and the constant rise in the cost of living, the violence that's happening out here, when we look at the natural disasters, the fires, the floods, the hurricanes, and even the tornadoes that is taking people homes when they woke up that morning or in the middle of the night and by one of these weather conditions. Their house is gone. They're in a situation where it's eminent domain. They have to go to a shelter, a recovery center. That house is going to be put up in a hotel. So, Pastor Eddie, when we look at the rising cost of living, you know, when I look at the people out here that's living on the street, they wasn't born that way. They were born as somebody's child. They had a family, had a school-grade education. But somewhere in the folklore of life, where when we look at the breadcrumbs, as in the story of Hansel and Gretel, what breadcrumbs are we picking up in life? Some of these breadcrumbs we pick up, we will lose our natural way of who we were born to be into another lifestyle that we weren't created for. In many cases, such at the beginning of the show, where the woman had to go and get food for her son and was, you know, just humiliated, disrespected, assaulted, and all these other things. So when we look, and she was probably living on the streets or at her last rent. And when Professor Ring spoke so educationally and eloquently about the renter's protection, the rental situations earlier in the segment, you know, this is huge. This is something we all have to face. And I was looking at in the year before the pandemic, the country recorded a shortage of 7 million affordable housing units for low-income renters. According to the Center of American Progress, created a crisis that left just 37 affordable rental homes for every 100 low-income households looking for rent. And so when we're looking at, let's say, 10,000 people looking for a place to rent, only 3,700 of them might find a place to rent. And, you know, even homeowners are insecure because I just said that a natural disaster can happen, and we're seeing that every day. You know, we're looking at people crashing cars into homes. They're getting red tagged. They have to find a place to stay. So when you bring up a topic, you know, Pastor, according to the Census Bureau, that 3.8 million renters were likely to be evicted, even though there are programs, there are propositions, there are laws that have been passed to protect renters and renters' rights, many of these laws will fall to the side because of eminent domain and the cost of living. Can you afford to pay? How long will these laws protect you to stay where you are? So, Pastor Eddie, once again, this is another subject matter, hot-button topic that we all have to realize and face and according to our lifestyle, according to our, to adjust our lifestyle and living expenses so we can afford just to pay mortgage, to pay rent, or even to lay wherever we can in an eminent domain situation, which can be on the streets. And, you know, I had a question in my mind when I said eminent domain. You know, I remember that that was used in history as the government took properties from natives and stuff like that and properties from other people in the eminent domain. My question would be, Professor Reams, if we lose a place to stay, not saying the homeless, but is there any kind of property, state, federal, local, that we can take for ourselves, even if we don't have money, and claim that law, eminent domain?
Wow, that's a good question. That's a good question. And before Professor Reams answers that question, Minister Moni Scott on Facebook Live. Matter of fact, let me just share this. You're on Eddie Jones Radio Talk Show, the Eddie Justice Jones Radio Talk Show, where we talk about civil rights, constitutional rights, human rights, your rights, my rights, and our rights, because we all have rights. And as I just put on Facebook Live, I put, we stand for something or fall for anything. We don't have time to fall for anything. We have to stand in agreement, in solidarity, and as one unit, because strength runs in numbers. And one voice can make change, but voices together can make even more change. Minister Minnie Scott put, we need divine intervention from God regarding housing in America. They are paying for housing for immigrants versus U.S. citizens. Lord, help me. And I just, you know, that is so true. You know, like, I don't want to get deep into that, but that is a pertinent statement that was just made, and we have to wake up and smell the coffee because there's a new cup being brewed every second. Without further ado, Professor Reams, you want to take the floor and answer that question by Brother Clarence M. Allen?
Yes, thank you, Pastor Jones. Unfortunately, eminent domain is a government power that was initiated, that was provided by the Fifth Amendment, which provides that the government may only exercise this power if they provide just compensation to the property owners. So if the government does do that, then it has to pay the owners. And it's only been one case where a pipeline company that owned the land was able to do something like that. But for the individual, no, because if the individual does do that, then it will be considered trespassing, whether it's own property or property owned by the government. So any place that isn't owned by a private individual reverts back to as city property. So it would be up to the city to have laws and rules and regulations that said that should someone become you know, homeless and they're staying there, that they will not be bothered or punished for that, because the fact that it's now city county land that they're on. But it's only if there is provisions, legislation that says that. Otherwise, that is part of the government right under the Fifth Amendment, which is extended to the states.
Wow, that thank you so much, Professor Reams.
Thank you so much, Professor Reams.
Thank you very much. With that being said, I want to go over to Vera Jones. Vera Jones, they're going to evict 3.8 million people, Vera. I want to get your opinion on that. Take the floor and share with us how you feel about it and what should we do and what can be done, in your opinion.
Wow. Eddie, that's truly, you know, a disadvantage to just people in general. That's mothers, fathers, children, families. I can recall doing a homeless count once with the city of L.A., and there were so many campers, people living from their baskets, you know, on the curbside. And I feel that we as a community, what we can do is some way help out more with the shelters, like donate to Skid Row, because a lot of them only have perhaps the clothes on their back or what's donated. And also help some of the people that you see in your neighborhood. Like there is one guy that I know and there is one woman, and when I can, I think of it, then I take different things to them, even as far as something to write with and books and food and different holidays. So we must research a little more about the renter's right, because I don't know much about that myself. And it's about to be winter time coming up in a minute. So during the winter time, I usually give socks, hats, or blankets. We can all do something and just start gathering some of those things to help some of the homeless. And it may not take them out the street. However, I am praying that this particular bill you're speaking of will be able to help some of the people, because 3.8 million, wow. Okay, back to you.
Wow, Vera, thank you very much. That was really well said, Vera. Very, very well said. And there is something that we can do. Yes, there is something we can do.
Thank you. Amen.
Dr. Gravy.
Amen. Wow. without further ado, I want my daughter, Talana, to chime in on this. Talana Jones, please take the floor. Chime in. 3.8 million people are likely to be evicted from their apartments and wherever. And I can't even imagine what that would do to crime will just go up, because it would. It would just go up, okay? Go ahead, Solana. Take the floor. Give us your view.
I just want to know from our politicians, and I want to say even congressmen who have been in office, who have been talking about creating infrastructures for to take homeless off of the streets and build campuses for them, so that way there are, you know, less people who are homeless. It really dates mm-hmm. back to also, like, there are some statistics, not all, but that say there are people who are homeless on the street who choose to remain homeless and don't want the housing because of the criteria that comes with, or the conditions that you have to meet in order to get housing. I would love to also say the homeless have to also be willing to accept the housing and just ask, like, what happened to building the homeless shelters, the homeless campuses that they've been talking about for so long before Biden was even in office? They were talking about the upkeep of going through, like, taking down certain gas stations that have been that haven't been used or abandoned, and to create those homeless shelters. So it will give room for at least, I won't say half, but at least a little more than, you know, some of the homeless that are left out on the street right now, to give them space to have room to be able to go somewhere to sleep and rest, and possibly even gain reentry back into having housing. But like Professor N said, if you don't have the income now, since everything is starting to become within drought and you're losing out on housing resources, where do we go next? How do we?
Well, Tawana, let me ask you a question. What would it look like to you in your mind if 3.8 million people were evicted from their apartments and homes? What would that look like to you in your mind?
Chaos. That's automatic. It's chaotic.
Yes.
It's going to cause more problems. Automatically.
Mm-hmm.
That's the first thing that comes to mind with me. People will have nowhere to go. Some people have children. And to have, you know, to I don't wish that on any family whatsoever, Dad. So I wish that the powers that be can provide a way from no way to make sure that people do not end up homeless on the street that way. And then they have the money to do so. If you can send money to Ukraine for war and resources, if you can, you know, create monies for the military, you can create monies for all of these other things that are really for the gas prices, the energy prices, as we were talking about, are going to continue to go up. So they're going to charge us more. So eventually when we have nothing to work with, where will our help be then?
Wow. Well, Tawana, very, very well said. I want to read. I just got, okay, by the way, if you want to call into the show, thank you, Tawana, very much. If you want to call into the show, dial 646-787-8064. 646-787-8064. 646-787-8064 and press 1. What's up, Brother Philip Waterman? What's up, my brother? God bless you and Mrs. Waterman and all your family. If you want to listen to the show online, you go to blogtalkradio.com, blogtalkradio.com. On the search, you put Eddie Jones Jr. underscore productions with an S. If you want to listen online, go to blogtalkradio.com. blogtalkradio.com, and on the search you put Eddie Jones Jr. underscore productions with an S, and you can see the pictures of me and the co-hosts and the co-producers of the show, and you can do it like that, or you can hit me right up on Facebook Live, Eddie Justice Jones Jr. on Facebook, Eddie Justice Jones Jr. on Facebook. I'm live right now, okay? Pretty soon we're going to change this over where you'll be able to see all the co-hosts and all the co-producers on the show. And that's what we want to bring it to. So I'm working on a platform right now. I'm not going to talk about it too much, but it's coming very soon. So we can see you and you can see us and we can all see each other and we can work it all out like that. Now, what we're talking about, and we've been talking about it, and before we close out on this particular subject matter, I just want to share those who are new to the show that just came on. The Census Bureau said that 3.8 million renters will likely be evicted in the next 2 months. We're talking about September and October, perhaps November. And why the rental crisis keeps getting worse. Now, we just heard from Timberlake. Sheila Timberlake said, I'm telling you, if you don't know God and put your trust in him, as we keep looking as to how the world is behaving, now it's enough to make you go crazy. The government is built of people who have no care for their fellow man, whose pay rate does not match theirs. So the government, they're getting paid their paycheck. They're getting 8 6-figures a year, no matter what happened, no matter who goes homeless, no matter who gets evicted. These Congress people, mayors, they got it made. They're not worried about being homeless or evicted from their place. Matter of fact, the city takes care of most of them and pays them, mayors and stuff like that. Their homes are paid for. The government takes care of them. But who's going to take care of the people? That's my concern right now, the people. When I hear a person like, and I'm just saying, when I hear Bill Gates owns 90% of potatoes in America, 90% of potatoes, and who doesn't eat french fries, okay, or potatoes, and one man owns 90% of that, what does that tell you? Pay attention. The one percenters are knocking it out the box. The one percenters, the Rockefellers, the Goodyears, the Bill Gates, and all the Tesla guy and all of them, they are taking over. They're buying up 90% of the farms in America, and they're using them for their own personal gain to monopolize the system. So when you get 3.8 million people being evicted and 5.8 million people likely to be homeless, that is a disaster waiting to happen. Crime will shoot completely up. Lawlessness is already taking place. And people are doing things that they've never done before after being locked up for 2.5 years in their house. You see things that you never thought you would see. So nothing is surprising anymore. It's right in your face. And just as we're working to get over COVID-19 and all the variants that go along with it, then they introduce monkeypox on top of that. So now we're talking about people being evicted from their homes. We're talking about variants of COVID-19. We're talking about the monkeypox. We're talking about all that. All that combined into one disaster. They're talking about a megastorm. We're not ready for a megastorm. There's no way in God's green earth we could be ready for a megastorm, and we have all these other issues to address. Again, we have to stick together as a people, and we have to educate one another, uplift each other, and get ready for the crisis that is already taking place. And they make sure that we always find out last. They don't want you to know. They're not trying to tell you the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. They don't want to cause fear in the whole society, but I'm going to keep it real with you. We're going to tell you the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help us God. You're on Eddie Jones Radio Talk Show, where we talk about civil rights, constitutional rights, human rights, your rights, my rights, and our rights. We're going to close out on this particular topic, but I want you to keep it on your mind. Go online and pull it up for yourself. Read it for yourself. Educate you so that you can educate your family. Tell your family what's going on. Because when it comes down, you don't want to be shocked and surprised and don't have a plan. Because if you don't have a plan, you plan to fail. So I'm giving you the information. We are giving you the information firsthand on our show. Let's move on to our second topic. And our second topic is almost as close as our first topic. Our second topic is, what is your Second Amendment right? Do you have the right to bear arms? Now, with all this lawlessness taking place and with all this evictions and homelessness taking place, we are going to have to protect our home because when we were looking on the ring, and you know, we were seeing in the neighborhood, in certain neighborhoods, you got guys going around checking car doors, guys going around checking people's home doors, and breaking out windows, going in their backyards, and all kinds of stuff. Okay, so what is the Second Amendment law, and what is your Second Amendment law, and do you have the right to bear arms? I'm going to ask Professor Reams to go into our Second Amendment right, but first we're going to hear from none other than Clarence M. Allen, who has done some research for us and is going to bring it to the table. Before we go deep into the Second Amendment right, I just want to say this. They're making it where you can't buy a weapon now. They don't want you to have a weapon to protect your home. The government, now the National Rifle Association, if you know anything about them, they're not your favorite people, okay? They're the ones making it out of control. They want to be able to carry weapons and do what they want to do with their little militias and all these things, but they don't want you to have the right to bear arms. And this is why Huey P. Newton, if you study his history, and believe it or not, all the Black Panthers were very educated. They all went to colleges. They all had master's and doctorate degrees, including Huey P. Newton. They were not a gang. They were feeding breakfast to kids before the government was giving out government cheese to people that were in low-income situations. The Black Panther Party fed kids lunch and breakfast so they could go to school not hungry. They don't tell you all that about them. They just say that the government infiltrated them, the FBI and the CIA infiltrated them because they stood up for their rights. They used the Second Amendment law so that they could bear arms to protect their people and their community, their women, their children. So let's get it right. Let's get the history right. Because, see, one thing they don't want you to know is your real history. That's why Black history is limited when it comes to education in universities, in high schools, and in colleges, and in elementary school and middle schools. There is not enough Black history. It's the history that they want you to know. But you need to know the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you guys, about your Black history, which is still a mystery. And that's the reason why we haven't received 40 acres and a mule. That's the reason why we are yet to get reparations. Now, they're working on it, but it's taken 500 years. So let's get down to the real nitty-gritty, okay? Let's get the real information right. Black history is what made America what it is today. If it was not for African Americans who built the railroads, who created the streetlight, who did the iron, who made the engine on the car, who invented electricity, and so many other things that they have told you that they did, what they did not do that. They could not have done it without us. We are an extremely important component to the survival of the fittest in the United States of America. We have invented things that are unbelievable. If you don't believe me, look it up for yourself. George Washington Carver, one of the smartest men in the world, invented hundreds of things with a peanut, with one peanut. So that goes to tell you something, okay? Amen. Okay. When you take European history, they actually teach a lot of Black history based on their, yes, I, Letitia Long, thank you so much. I thought I was the only one. Thank you so much for bringing that out. Now, we're going to go over to Clarence M. Allen because you need to know what your Second Amendment right is, because you do have the right to bear arms to protect your family. Because when lawlessness kicks all the way in, and it will, because the police can't be at everybody's house at one time, then what will you do? Do you have a plan? And if you don't have a plan, you plan to fail. So create a plan for you and your family. And they're making it so hard for people to buy weapons. And even though we know some of these weapons are in these malicious hands, well, guess what? We have to protect our community. We have to protect our women. And we have to protect our children. We need to protect our women. And we need to protect our children. So we need to continue to man up, and strength runs in numbers, and get educated on what our Second Amendment right is. Clarence M. Allen, take the floor, and then we're going to go to Professor Eames, then we'll go to Vera, and then we'll go to Talana on the Second Amendment right. Without further ado, Clarence M. Allen, take the floor. What's up with our Second Amendment right in the United States of America?
Yes, Pastor Ed, this is another hot-button topic. When we see all the violence, especially the gun violence that's happening here and today, the mass killing, robbery, people just having differences among each other, and then there's a gun. Well, let's look at this Second Amendment. It says, a well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. And so to not be infringed is not to break that law, which gives us the right to bear an arm. So when we look at back in the late 1700s, in that three-quarter parts of that century or more, and even be just before that, we're looking at a nation that was being put together. And so we're looking at the war with the colonies against the British. Spain had a hand in it. The French had a hand in it. And so, you know, there were European countries taking land over here in the new, what was considered the new world, the Americas. And so when the immigrants started to migrate over here, we're looking at some of the lowest of low people. You had pirates, you had criminals, you had people who wanted to be free and free of the rules, under the rule of law of England, Spain, France, even Portugal had a small part on this side of the planet. So when we're looking at it, you're looking at the frontier, the wilderness. There were some ruthless people back then who would come and do some of the things we see even today, break in your home, take your wife, take your children, take your property, take your stock, take everything that you own. And so when we look at all these entities, and then when you look at how the natives were being swindled and warred against to take the reservations or the land and property that they had and was forced to move to lands that at that time people thought were less resourceful and all of that with the right to bear arms. And then when we look at today, these laws I think need to have at least some stipulations added to them. Because when you go on a home today and you see the government going home, they raid a home, and a guy got 1,000 guns. What do you need 1,000 or more guns with all of this ammunition for? You're only one person. Even if you set them up as if you were in a fort to fight thousands of people, you could not fire them all at the same time. You know, we talked yesterday, Eddie, and, you know, I made the joke that about Yosemite Sam. I said, who needs more guns than Yosemite Sam? And we both found some humor in that. And so with today, we're looking at the Second Amendment right, and you can't lose that Second Amendment right if you become a felon, if you become a convict. You can lose that Second Amendment right. It's one of the traps, especially us of color, our young men and even our young women are caught up in, you know, this with the oppression, with the discrimination, with the lack of resources, the hardships in life for someone to want to be successful or like to enjoy the freedom which this country and life has to offer, or discriminate and doesn't have that same equal opportunity. And they see people who live in this good life, and they say, well, I'm going to get a gun and go take it. And they go and get by force and get caught stealing, robbing, or whatever, and lose that Second Amendment right. Then you lose that right, and then we have some that will still carry illegally because they have that felony. They have that convicted felony act on their record. So this Second Amendment right, with the right to bear arms, you know, it's an immense amendment that was implemented back during those times, where people at that time, you know, from the wildlife, from those who were villains or criminals would come in and take your stuff. You needed the right. And even today in certain situations, you need something to protect yourself from people coming in your home. But today we see that that right has been taken advantage of by many people to hoard weapons, some even to take them and go out and do violence and kill others, man. We're losing more people because of guns and the gun violence today than we would our heresy in a war. You know, this is just another hot-button topic. We do have the right to bear arms as long as we don't break our own civil rights and felonies. And so we have to be careful with it. I think it needs to be adjusted, you know, because there are certain weapons that made for war that's on the streets now with these highly anticipated automatic weapons, the Uzi, the AR, the M16s, the machine guns. And, you know, it's all right to have an automatic pistol, a revolver, a shotgun, something like that to protect yourself in your home. But when you have all these high capacity weapons and somebody malfunction and go out and use it on somebody because they even got upset, they're mad about their life or what happened to them in life, it's ridiculous. It's ludicrous. So Pastor Eddie, this is another hot button topic, and that's about all I can put on that for now.
Well, thank you very much, Brother Clarence.
Well done, the regulator.
Yes, absolutely.
We appreciate that information that you just shared with us, because, see, you do have the right to bear arms. But they're making so many laws now about having a weapon. What's up, Rose Tracy? What's going on? God bless you, Rose Tracy. Thank you. Hallelujah. Praise God. They are making so many laws now where you can barely get a gun now. You got to have a clean record. They send it to the DOJ, the Department of Justice, and the racist origin of gun control in the United States of America. These laws were designed to disarm black. Hey. All right, now you're preaching now. That's what I'm talking about. African Americans. Now pay attention. They're making it so difficult for African Americans to get weapons. They don't want you to be able to protect your home. Ever since you could ever remember, they always had more guns than we did. And they think if a black person or a black family has a gun, oh, you're a threat. Well, guess what? The threat are those Caucasian white militia groups that have tanks, helicopters, machine guns, 50 caliber weapons just sitting in a bunker so they could just go ballistic and use them on people. So we have to get our stuff together and make sure our stuff is right so that we can, hey, what's up? What's up? We have to make sure our stuff is right, so we need to have the right to bear arms too so that we can defend our homes. Because in an emergency situation, I'm going to be honest with you, one gun is not enough. It's just not. Even if you have a shotgun, which can spray and do a whole lot of damage, but you need to have a certain type of weapons that can help you defend your home against intruders. And I'm not saying go ballistic, but I'm saying just the way you invest in food and water and all that, when lawlessness kicks in, you're going to have to defend your home. Amen. So, okay, Sheila, okay. Hey, Rose Tracy. And Sheila, Rose Tracy is my beautiful cousin. Good morning, family. Thank you, Rose Tracy, for joining us. If it's your first time, welcome to the Eddie Jones Radio Talk Show, the Eddie Justice Jones Radio Talk Show, where we talk about civil rights, constitutional rights, human rights, your rights, my rights, and our rights, because we all have rights. And amen, amen. Praise God. Now, without further ado, we're going to go to Professor Reams. Professor Reams, could you tell us some of the laws that have been put in place so that African American and people of color cannot get weapons, and why we have the right to bear arms? Hey, Edie Way, how are you? And also, Letitia Long said they implemented until after Presidential Lincoln issued the Emancipation Proclamation in 1863, they implemented these laws. And this is why these laws to prohibit us from bearing arms. And I'm going to hit like on that. And this is why, wait, let me see. And this is why we need to amend the amendment of the Second Amendment law. We need to amend the amendment of the Second Amendment law about the right to bear arms. And without further ado, good morning, Edie Way. Good morning to you, and hello and everybody, and God bless everybody. Without further ado, let's go to our real professor. Professor Reams, please take the floor. Enlighten us with this pertinent information for those who don't know the Second Amendment law and don't know why they have the right to bear arms and why they should. And what is the new law?
Well, thank you, Pastor Jones. Now, with Clarence has said it all with the Second Amendment and how it works is the militias and the right to bear arms. But the one thing that came about from that is that there are two theories that came of it. One, you had the individual rights theory, where it restricts legislation from prohibiting firearms and possession of it in order for people to protect their homes and all the things that are going on. Then you have the collective right theory that says that it's the federal and states that can regulate. So with the right to bear arms, you've got a twofold. You've got the federal government that must protect the right to bear arms because it's in the Constitution. But you give the states the rights to regulate how guns are purchased within their state. So that's the twofold of that. Now, there have been laws, but these laws are specific to those states. Like, for example, in California, their regulations for gun control was that you had to have 10-day waiting period. Only one handgun could be bought per month. It had to be approved by safety handgun rosters in California. You must have a firearm safety certificate. You'll pay $31 for a background check and then $49 for a private sale. And then 18 to 20-year-olds can only purchase rifles, shotguns, no certified rifles or handguns. And then parents, grandparents can transfer without a dealership to a child without dealers but have no other requirements. And then you have loaning firearms to others possible under specific circumstances. This is California. In Texas, however, the rule is that you can be 18 years and own a gun, where in Texas you can't vote until you're 21. So the rules vary by the states, and let's pull up one here, because there's also the National Firearms Act that was created for federal regulation, which was just put together. Mm-hmm. And this act itself was implemented because of the problems that are dealing with the NFA. So it says the federal law regulates gun ownerships to some degree, including restricting the owners of certain types of firearms. For example, short-barreled shotguns, machine guns, and silencers overall. But as far as a lot of the other legislation that's cropped up, much of it has been tweaked to where if there's an issue like mass having silencers or having repeaters or whatever it is, then they place restriction on those as a result of the mass shootings that are going on that have been occurring. Now, this has been occurring in the well-affluent neighborhoods. So, but this translates into that people of color will not be able to have the same rights and privileges or part of the militias overall. And the thing that is of interest is many of those militias are in the states where the gun laws in that state are very relaxed so that anyone can. purchase of firearms without any reservation. It's just that in California, New York, and some of the blue states, where gun control and the gun lobby has been squelched because where the politicians, just to go for politicians, you know, many of the Democrats do not take NRA money, however the Republicans do. So you can see where the balance of where a lot of the gun laws and or restrictions are occurring. But as far as restrictions to individual folks, each state can place a restriction, especially if that person is perceived to have a felon or has been in some sort of altercation or because of their background check comes up in some way, shape, or form. In more of the stricter states, that would be a deterrent. In some of the other states, that doesn't even matter because it doesn't exist. So the thing is that I'm kind of hesitant to go for the full actual law because they are constantly changing as the lobbyists are trying to change the laws in different states. So we can talk about a gun law now, and it will probably get changed by the time we get to the midterm elections because that's what the state wants to do with the gun law there. But otherwise, we do have the right to bear arms, but the regulation and control of it and the prohibition is based on what the state feels that its constituents would like it, how it wants the state to handle its gun circumstances. So I yield back to you, Pastor Jones.
Let's give a big hand for Professor Reed. Very pertinent information.
Wow, Professor Reed.
I really believe that, okay, we have a caller. Caller in the 503-747 area code, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Oh, my gosh, is this Miss Linda Goldie all the way from Oregon?
Yes, it is.
Everybody say good morning to Miss Linda Goldie all the way from Oregon.
Linda Goldie!
Good morning, Linda.
Good morning, everybody. I was glad I got to hear what Professor Raines had to say about guns.
Yeah, well, you know, it's so amazing that certain people are allowed to get as many guns as they want and certain people are not allowed to get as many guns. Good morning, Cassandra Romero. God bless you and your husband and your family. Such an honor to have you on. And Linda Goldie, when we get through, we're going to cool down with some poetry from you. We're looking forward to some poetry. What states have constitutional carry? There are 25 states that have some constitutional carry, also called permitless carry. They are listed below. So I'm going to tell you where you can carry your weapon, where you can carry a weapon. In Alabama, law passed will be effective January 1st, 2023, minimum age 21. Alaska, law passed in 2003. You can carry open carry in Alaska. Arizona, you can open carry. Law passed in 2010, minimum age 21. Arkansas, you can open carry. Georgia, you can open carry since April 12th of 2022. Idaho, there's open carry. You can only have to be 18. Indiana, as of July 1st. Let's go here. Let's get some. These are the places where you can open carry a weapon, okay? And I saw a video the other day where an African-American male was carrying an open carry weapon and somebody, Caucasian, called the police on him. And he was very adamant at dealing with them. And they said, well, you know, so-and-so, you know, he said, well, I have the right to bear arms under the Second Amendment law, and I have a right to open carry, and I have a license to open carry. And so they kept talking to him. He said, are any of you guys going to arrest me or take me in? And they said, no. He said, well, I'm gone. Bye. And he walked away. So he was like, bye, Felicia. And he just got out of there. Okay? You know, because we as African Americans and black people, we have the right to bear arms, too, in an open carry state. And even if we have a permit in other unopen carry states, as long as you have your license to carry a weapon. But this is why I forgot the young man's name who died in the car, because he told the police officer he had a weapon permit to carry a weapon, and the police officer still shot him to death, shot him and killed him. Yeah, bye, Felicia. That's a joke. Anyway, also, too, there's other places where you can open carry, and I won't go into all those places. But I gave you some, and don't forget Mississippi. You can open carry too. Now you know you can open carry in Mississippi, and that's why there's been some things that have happened where a young man was walking on somebody's land in Texas, and they just pulled out a weapon and shot him. And the young boy, when they found out, they turned him over. It was a young boy. He didn't realize that it was a law where you could shoot somebody if they're walking on your property. And that's a whole other subject, so we're not going to get into that today. We're going to stick to what is your Second Amendment right. And if you don't know it, read about it. And do you have the right to bear arms? Yes, you do have the right to bear arms. Yes, you do. And so exercise your rights. Protect your home. Protect your home. You have the right to open carry. What's up, family? What's going on, Cousin Charles? You have the right to open carry, especially in Arizona and Texas and Mississippi and the places that I named to you earlier. Don't forget, you can open carry in Alabama, Alaska, Arizona, Arkansas, Georgia, Idaho, Indiana, Mississippi, and there's a few more, okay? So you can look it up for yourself and get the rest of the information. We just want to give you information that's pertinent to what our discussion is. And our discussion at this time is, do you know your Second Amendment right? And do you have the right to bear arms? Yes, you do have the right to bear arms. And you need to know what your laws are. And you should not allow them to stop you from buying a weapon to protect your home against all the lawlessness that is beginning to take place in the United States of America. No, I don't want to instill fear. No, I do not. I want to groom you and educate you on becoming steadfast in knowing that you have rights that you can exercise to, what about Pennsylvania? Okay, really quick, Professor Reams, can you look up Pennsylvania and see if they have an open carry law? I don't think they do, but let's just find out. Professor Reams, can you look that up for me? And we'll find out in just a minute. Rose Tracy will answer your question. Amen. Praise God. But if you do want to go out and buy a weapon, you need your California ID. You're probably going to need your birth certificate. I don't think you need your birth certificate, because you could go to places like Arizona and other places. You could buy the weapon and take it home the same day. But in Los Angeles, California, where I am, you got to go through a series of things. Amen. No fear. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You got to have more information on that. So,
yes, Pastor Jones.
Yes.
Yes. From this chart I'm looking at, Pennsylvania is an open carry without a permit.
It is an open carry state.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. Wow. Wow. I missed some of the – thank you so much, Professor Reams. So does that answer your question? Yes. Oh, you know what? I do have I found my other list here. Praise God for wonderful help. Praise the Lord. Tracy, yes, Pennsylvania is an open state, a carry state. And Oregon is an open carry state. Rhode Island, New York is an open carry state. South Carolina is an open carry state. South Dakota is an open carry state. Tennessee is an open carry state. And, of course, Texas is an open carry state. You know, there's, I remember driving to Texas. I'm sorry, what was that?
I say the state of Montana is also an open carry state.
Yes, it is. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. Minister Moni Scott said, thank you, Pastor Eddie Jones, for sharing information to help her and to help all of us. And then she also said, thank you, Professor Reams, for sharing vital info to help us. And this is vital information, because if you don't know, you perish because of a lack of knowledge. If you don't know that you can go in and buy a weapon to protect your home, you, man, wake up. Because I'm going to tell you, some of these folks got, like I said, they got bunkers in their home. And they're not African-American either. And they waiting on somebody to act up so they can pull out all these weapons you ain't never seen before. Charles Jones said, to take home a Second Amendment tool in Arizona the same day, you have to be licensed. Not even then are you guaranteed if you – oh, this is very important. Thanks, family, for bringing this up. Not even then are you guaranteed if you are flagged. Okay. Open carry states, there are still background checks, which can take up to a week or two depending on how backed up the laws are. Very, very important information. Very important information. I'm going to hit a like on that right there. Very important information. Thank you, Cousin Charles Jones. God bless you and your wife, my cousin Lori Jones. God, shout out to all my family in Arizona, my sons in Arizona, and all my family in Arizona. Thank you for that very important information because that's important. You need to know that the laws are laws that can help you and laws that can hurt you. But nothing beats a failure but a try. Now, if you do get flagged, maybe you need to, you know, yes, praise God. Maybe you need to clean up some few things on your record and get things right because guess you don't need to have a weapon to defend your home. Amen. Being licensed is the best way to help yourself. Exactly. Go out and do it the right way. Get your licenses. Get what you need. Take a gun class. I'm telling you, get ready because I don't know if you guys remember when they used to have a song. It was a song called 911 is a joke. Excuse me. It was a rap song that came out years back, and it was saying that 911 was a joke, and it was a joke because you would dial 911. And even just here recently, I was watching a young lady on YouTube who was got stabbed up, and she said she called 911, and they took forever to get to her. Okay, got my same day. I applied it. Took 4 hours. I'm bonded. Wow. Rose Tracy just stated to us that she would receive her firearm in the same day. Well, Rose Tracy, where are you located at? What state are you in? Were you able to get your weapon? Because we know that there are some states where you can't get your weapon the same day, walk out the same day, and, you know, do your thing. Where are you? What state are you in? So that we can, you know, make, you know, acknowledge that. So, okay, it's 10:27. Okay. In a few minutes, we're going to go to our regular segment of our show, and we're going to come on with some, you know, the other things that we do on our show that we do every single week, and people love it. Okay, we're waiting on a response back from Rose Tracy on what state she's in so people can know what you can do in certain states. And I gave you the list, and I would go over it one more time. I'm just going to say, Oregon is an open carry state. Pennsylvania, Rhode Island, South Carolina, South Dakota, Tennessee, Texas, Minnesota, Mississippi, Missouri, Montana, Nebraska, Nevada, New Hampshire, and New Jersey, Florida, Georgia, Hawaii, Idaho, Illinois, Indiana, and Iowa. Those are all open carry states, along with Alabama and Alaska. Now, those are all your open carry states. And let's see, I live in the city of Allentown. Oh, Allentown. Okay, cool, cool. You live in Allentown. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Without further ado, I want to go to Vera Jones, and I want Vera to give us her – oh, wait, I got to call in the 352 area code. Let's see if they want to – call her in the 352-363 area code. Are you there?
Yes, sir. Greetings in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. This is Pastor Don Jr., CEO. I'm here as my first. I'm a first-time caller, but I've been on over 10,000 radio shows, so I'm very eager to hear what you have to say.
Well, thank you very much. I really appreciate you. Did you want to say anything about the Second Amendment right or the right to bear arms?
Well, I'm compelled because on one side of me, I have some of my congregation members. They talk to me about the people carrying guns and doing bad things with guns, but then on the other side of me, it's a time when you need a gun. Somebody breaking into your house and they trying to get into the refrigerator and they not invited. That's a problem. And at that point, and I'm a pastor, you need a gun. Yeah. I mean, I hate to be like that, but in the reality of the situation, is if you let somebody in your house unannounced, uninvited, and they just in your refrigerator, that's a problem. Keeping it easy for the listening audience.
Well, not only that, I know some pastors, and I'm a pastor. But I know some pastors who have guns at their church because people have been robbing churches, and it's on an all-time high that pastors are carrying weapons. School teachers, school teachers are being trained to carry weapons. Because
I did not no way give support to pastors carrying guns. I'm a pastor. I've been pastoring for over 44 years, and I don't carry a weapon. I believe in God, and I know he's going to put me in the right situation. But with me having enough wisdom, I know how to leave when I see stuff getting irate. You see people yelling, fighting, knocking down stuff, it's time to go. Pack the kids up, the women and children, batting the hatches, it's time to leave. Make sense?
Right. Now I want to thank you for sharing your opinion, and I'm going to put you on hold so we can finish. We got to go into another segment, but I really appreciate you coming on, Pastor, and I hope you continue to come on with us and share. And we always have a hot topic every week, two or three topics that are very open and have good pertinent information that can help us to understand why we talk about what we do, because it's our civil right, our constitutional right, our human right, and your rights and my rights, and we all have rights, and we need to exercise those rights. So thank you for coming on, brother. God bless you, man.
I want to say this in closing. I appreciate it.
Go right here, brother. Say that one more time. Say that one more time.
I'm sorry. I appreciate the show. I appreciate how much preparation goes into this show, and I appreciate all the listeners out there on radio, man, and the people need to call in, because that's how you get response. A lot of times as pastors, we preach messages on Sunday, but we don't ever talk to the members. But if you don't talk to your members, you don't know what's going on in your church. I'm keeping it real. That is the reality of being the pastor. It's stuff
thank
that you
so,
can
thank-
deal with, and some stuff you can't deal with. So I'm with you, bro, and I yield the floor to you.
Amen. Praise God. Thank you so much. Can we all give that brother a hand for calling the pastor? Let's give the pastor a hand. Okay. Now, unfortunately, was somebody about to say something? Hold that thought. Okay, Leticia Long said, I think churches should have some form of protection because churches are easy targets, and you see a lot more cases of churches being robbed and even members being killed. Schools, I'm not sure about, because some of the teachers I have a difficult time managing certain groups of people. I agree with that. You got to make sure that teacher is psychologically and mentally steadfast. That was from Leticia Long. Rose Tracy says, I was bonded because I worked with the billions of dollars at the casino. I am a law-abiding citizen, but in these last days, me at age 65 and my son and only child died last year. Oh, I'm so sorry to hear that. I have given up my weapon because I felt like I didn't want to shed blood. But here they have open rage and hate. Oh, my God. I'm going to hit like on that because, oh, man, that's emotional. I'm so sorry to hear about your son, Rose Tracy. God bless you. And Leticia Long, thank you for that very important statement. And I hate to tell you this truth, but the reason why pastors are carrying weapons is because they are robbing churches. They've been robbing churches, but now it's more pertinent than it. I just saw a robbery of a church about a month ago where they went in there with guns and put them on the pastor, made him lay down face down and robbed him, put the gun on his wife, put the gun on his kids and everything else. Come on in, Cousin V. Come on in. Welcome, Cousin V. Welcome. Let's see. Okay. We have a caller. Oh, we have another caller. We're going to get to you in just a minute. Hold on. Let's see something. Okay. We got all these callers calling in here. There we go. Here's a caller. Let's see. Caller in the 323-646 area code. Are you there? Hey, Denise. Denise, how are you? God bless you. Caller in the 323-646 area code, are you there? Okay, we're going to keep them on hold. Okay, wait. Were they getting me to say something? Call in the 323-646 area code. Did you want to say something? Okay, let's put them back on hold. Okay. So without further ado, we're going to go into our regular segment. It's 10:34. I'm so happy that we were able to talk about the Second Amendment right and why people have the right to bear arms, especially people of color who don't know all the laws. And should we make an amendment to the amendment of the Second Amendment law? Yes, we should. Because that law was written years and years and years ago. So here we are in 2022 going into 2023. We need to take this to the Supreme Court. We need to make an amendment to the Second Amendment, and we need to understand why we have the right to bear arms and what we should do when we do bear arms. Let's get one more statement on Facebook Live from Rose Tracy. Let's see. Hold on. Let's get open this up. Originally from Atlantic City, they are killing and robbing churches and even hung a 21-year-old in New Jersey. Yes, all pastors need to protect them, their sheep. I couldn't agree with you more. I could not agree. Thank you, Rose Tracy. I'm not condoning carrying a weapon. I'm saying that we got to protect the church members because there's women and children at the church. We have the men of the church. And as a pastor, we should have a security plan at all times, you know, because they know what time you take up the offering. They look and see how much of an offering you're getting, and they're going to come in and praise the Lord, too, just like everybody else, and then go out and set it up to get robbed, unfortunately. And we're going to talk about that topic on another day, but that's such an important reason why pastors, and now they're having school teachers take gun classes. And I'm going to say this. Every school teacher is not built to carry a weapon. You got some school teachers who just might not know how to make the right decision in the midst of a school shooting. God forbid any more school shootings. I hope we don't have any more. But we have to face reality that they do take place. They do take place. And if a teacher is ready, then a teacher can protect the children in her class. And my heart went out to that shooting at the elementary school where the police got there, and they wouldn't even go in to get the shooter. Had they went in to get the shooter, maybe so many kids would not have perished. Oh, Minister Farley, oh, my God, I just saw you at church yesterday. Let's see what Minister Farley okay, continue in Christ, continue in song, continue in the word, just continue every gift, giving gift to others in Jesus' name, avoid entanglements. They slow the momentum of Jesus Christ. And Edie Way says, this is very true. Not every teacher should carry a weapon. I agree. We're going to close out on this topic, and it's such a hot, fired-up topic that we will revisit this again in the future. Now it's time to change it up a little bit. I want to go to some poetry because we got to cool down from all this hot topic and discussion that we've been having. So let's go to Linda Goldie. Linda Goldie, give us some poetry right now and cool it down a little bit. And then we're going to go to Vera Jones with Health and Wellness. And then we're going to go to Tawana Jones with Words of Wisdom. And then we're going to go to Clarence M. Allen with Regulate the Manual. And then we will have the commentary from Professor Reem, all on the Eddie Jones Radio Talk Show, where we talk about civil rights, constitutional rights, human rights, your rights, my rights, and our rights, and the sports report from Cousin V. Let's find out what's going on with the sports. Okay, without further ado, take the floor, Linda Goldie. Give us some poetry.
Okay, this is called The First Design. How many know the first design was beautiful and clean and fine, with nothing lacking in its scope, made with love and finished hope? But somehow, with its often use, the fabric tore with stitches loose, and here and there it has a patch, with thread or fabric, not a match. The maker of what it was meant was sad to see and not content with what had happened to his prize, so he would revolutionize. But after all his sacrifice, some don't think about it twice and still keep patching what is worn and now refuse the baby born. You who stitch to try to mend, is the maker your best friend, or is it what you choose to do because you can't make someone new?
Amen. All right, praise God. Thank you for that poem. Thank you for that poetry. We needed that. Let's give a hand for that poetry. Thank you, Linda Goldie. Always important.
Linda Goldie got my hug.
Amen, amen. Now, without further ado, have you said the word? Oh, by the way, I want to give you the word of the day, and I want to give you the scripture of the day. Remember, our first topic was 3.8 million people will be evicted in the next 2 months. If you didn't hear me, read about it. The Census Bureau said that 3.8 million people will be evicted in the next 2 months. So that brings our word of the week. Write it down. Our word of the week is starvation. Starvation. The reason why I picked starvation is because I saw the video with the woman who was walking out of Walmart with her 9-year-old son, and they knocked the food out of her hand. The store clerk did and told her she was stealing, and she had a nervous breakdown saying, "My son is hungry. My son is hungry. I need to feed my son. He's starving." Well, that made me come up with the word of the week is starvation, because a lot of people don't know how many people are starving right here in America. There are people starving right here in America, and it shouldn't be. And our scripture of the week, is Matthew chapter 21, verse 22. Matthew chapter 21, verse 22, and it reads, "If you believe, you will receive whatever you ask for in prayer." That's Matthew chapter 21, verse 22. If you believe, whatever you ask, you will receive it in prayer. Now, you can look that up for yourself. Let that be your scripture of the week. Moni Scott, starvation is the word of the week, and starvation is the word of the week. And then the scripture is Matthew chapter 21, verse 22. And those are our wonderful things that we do every single week. Without further ado, Talana Jones. Talana Jones, take the floor. Give us words of wisdom, words of wisdom.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Words of Wisdom. Today, I've heard a lot of interesting things, and we never know what type of chaos we're going to hear next. It's been a lot of ongoing chaotic issues that we can't really understand and or figure out, but with the love of God, I have also understood that these are also the sign of times. Things are changing now. Everyone is doing their best to maintain staying focused and steadfast. When you're put in a position where you see so many people need help and you're trying to figure out a way from no way to help someone, and that help doesn't come for a certain amount of time, how do you affect change? So I always go to prayer, and I've shared this countless times over, but I believe this with all my heart, and I shared this previously, but I do want to share this again today with everyone, because I do believe in our everlasting spirit of God and how he moves, and everything that he does is on purpose. Everything that is happening right now is for a reason, good, bad, and ugly. So, excuse me, guys, this is, I'm going to read really quickly. I pray that you enjoy. Do not take time for granted. Seize this moment. Stay focused on God. Give your mind, body, and spirit to him. Be kind, be loving, and have compassion. Be mindful of everyone's wants and needs in this situation. Think of others as you would want others to think of you. Positivity is what we need in our lives in order to be phenomenal and to transcend that energy. Remember that we are all timeless, and that the Lord stores up all of the beauty within us so that we can share with others. It is not for us to continue to hold on to and be self. I am grateful to be able to say to everybody listening that we all have a gift. Everyone listening gives away something to someone that they did not know they had or might be looking for within themselves that they need to manifest. So I say keep God first through the chaos, through the good, bad, and ugly. I say no weapon formed against all of us shall prosper. I also claim victory for the homeless people. For everybody who needs help, I ask God to meet them exactly where we are. And I love you all. I thank you all for listening to Words of Wisdom. God bless you all, and have a wonderful rest of your week. Thank you.
Amen. Well said.
Amen. Well said, Talana. Excellent.
You're listening to the Eddie Justice Jones Radio Show, the Eddie Justice Jones Radio Show, every Monday morning from 9 a.m.
to 11 a.m. Have your friends to call in if they'd like to chime in at 646-787-8064. You can go to blogtalkradio.com, hit the search button, go to Eddie Jones Jr. _ Productions, and you can listen. These shows are archived, so you can always come back and replay this show.
Okay, can you guys hear me okay? Can you hear me okay?
Yes.
Yes,
okay,
we can,
good,
yeah.
Good. Okay, thank you, guys. We had some technical difficulties come up, and I apologize, but sometimes when you're in control, you find out that the government is more in control than you are. So all kinds of things can transpire in the midst of telling the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So help us, God, about amendment rights, about, you know. So let's go back to Talana. Talana, please take the floor and go ahead on and finish giving us words of wisdom. Amen. Hold on. Don't go anywhere. We're still on the Eddie Jones Radio Talk Show.
Ooh. She just
hello, everyone. I have shared. I believe that whenever something like that happens, he is trying to deviate the message from being heard. There's no way that the distraction can ever come upon what God has for. So I'm just going to speak life over everybody listening. I pray victory, as I earlier, over any situation we have going on, and that we lose the Lord's Holy Spirit on the enemy and the chaoticness that is going on, and just let him work. I again, let Lord meet each and every person listening to the sound of my voice, meet God exactly where we are, and never leave the way we came. And I say again that God bless everyone listening. I love you all from the top of your head to the soles of your feet. Like Dad would say, all you say and do, may God bless you. And let's stay focused on God, everybody, because the chaos is going to distract us, period.
Amen, amen. Thank you, Talana. Let's give a big hand for Talana. Thank you, Talana. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you. We have Aretha Adams-Jones. Aretha Adams-Jones, affectionately known as Dr. Aretha Adams-Jones, with mental health in you. Without further ado, take the floor. Aretha Adams-Jones, give us mental health in you.
Amen. God bless you. Happy Monday. Mental health in you. So listen, many look at tears. Excuse me. They look at tears as a sign of emotional weakness. But what many often fail to realize is that there are benefits of shedding emotional tears, believe it or not. And research has found that in addition to being self-soothing, shedding emotional tears actually releases endorphins, okay? These chemicals make people feel good and may also ease both physical and emotional pain. In this way, crying can help reduce pain and promote a sense of well-being. So holding back tears can actually cause problems such as irritability, anxiety, poor sleep. But over time, repressing your tears can lead to cardiovascular diseases such as hypertension. So remember, it's okay to share some emotional tears. And just remember that mental health matters. And it's time to remove the stigma. God bless you.
Dr. Rita.
Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God.
Hey, Rita. Well done. Yes.
Okay. Amen. I'm looking for. Okay, 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 okay. Without further ado, it's 7:49. We're here for the sports report with Cousin V, all the way from where are you at, Cousin V, in Florida or Texas?
Right now, I'm at the school in Pompano Beach.
Pompano Beach, Florida.
I live in Boca Raton now.
Amen, amen.
And
without further ado, Cousin V, go ahead.
We have, they have two nurses working with us now, so everybody say hello to Henry. He's my supervisor.
Hey, how's it going?
Oh, well, hello, Henry.
Hello.
How are you?
He said you live on the Eddie Jones radio talk show. He liked the comments. He liked the poetry. He listened to Talana. He said he tries to be positive. So we were here listening to the show together. But I'm going to make it quick because the kids are keeping us busy. And I heard you all talk about kids and the schools and guns and everything. So we've been having to do drills here and everything. So we just pray for a safe year. But anyway, to make it short, I'm going to go with the, it's lots of sports going on. We got high school sports start this weekend. We got college sports start this weekend. We had the Little League World Series, and Texas was in it up until 2 days ago, but Hawaii came out with the win. We also have the WNBA, and I don't have my scores in front of me, but we're down to the Final Four for the WNBA. We have the LPGA going on, and we have the PGA, which I do know Rory McIlroy won that $18 million FedEx Cup purse. And then next week will be the President, the PGA Tour for next week. And then because we all love the NFL, we do want those scores. So Thursday night started off, we had the Chiefs and the Packers. The Chiefs beat the Packers 17-10, and can you all believe it? The Houston Texans shut out the 49ers 17-0 on Thursday. And then we had the Carolina Panthers beat the Bills. They shut them out, the Panthers, and Baker Mayfield 21-0. The Cowboys won over the Seahawks 27-26. The New Orleans Saints and Jameis Wilson, he wanted to play in the preseason. They let him. They beat the Chargers, the L.A. Chargers. Sorry, you all. 27-10. Hey, Clarence, you and your Las Vegas Raiders are on a roll. They beat the Patriots 23-6. The Falcons beat the Jaguars 28-12. The Bengals beat the Rams, L.A. Rams. They beat you all. Sorry, Eddie. 16-7.
No. Oh, no.
The Bears beat the Browns 21-10 because he always said, I want to hear what my L.A. Rams done. So that's what happened. The Titans beat the Cardinals 26-23. Hey, my Dolphins are on the road with Tyreek Hill. They beat the Eagles 48-10. Yes, I know it's preseason. That's what everybody's saying. But, hey, it just give us an idea of what's going to happen through the year to me. The Ravens beat the Commanders 17-15. And I do know the Commanders, I think the guy's last name is Robertson, but he was shot. Somebody tried to rob him over the weekend, but he did recover, and he will be all right. He said he's a running back, and he will be back out on the field. So we do want to pray for him, speedy healing and recovery.
Wow.
The Colts beat the Buccaneers and Tom Brady 27-10. The Broncos beat the Vikings 23-13. And then yesterday on Sunday, the Jets beat the Giants 31-27. And the Steelers beat the Lions 19-9. This is my sports report. Y'all have a blessed week.
Amen. Let's give a hand for Cousin V. One more thing.
Serena does not want to say retiring, but she will be playing her last U.S. Open, which starts tonight at 7 p.m.
No.
Oh, my God. Well, you know what? I don't want her to retire, but guess what? She has been one of the most wonderful tennis players in the world. Her and her sister, Venus and Serena. We love her.
Yes, and she did. Her and Venus did play this past weekend. She did beat Venus to win her 23rd title, and she won that Australian Open, which gave her her 23rd title. And it was just so wonderful to see how two sisters just lifted up each other on national TV. So back to you, Eddie.
Okay, well, we want to give a big shout-out to Brother Henry. Henry, I hope you're on the show next week. We look forward to hearing you on our show next week, Henry. God bless you. God bless you, Cousin V. And shout out to Randy.
Okay,
too.
Thank you.
And without further ado, you're welcome, Brother Neil. Amen. Without further ado, we're going to go to Clarence M. Allen. Clarence M. Allen, take the floor, regulate the manual, and then we're going to hear the commentary. You don't want to miss this commentary from Professor Raines. Clarence M. Allen, take the floor, regulate the manual. We got 5 minutes.
God, let's thank God for molding us into the person we are today. God, let's thank you for getting us through all of our battles in this life. Let's thank God for all the educations along with the experiences that we had to attain while we were stepping along in our journeys. I believe that it has taken each and every step for us to be molded into that regulator who we now are. Thank God for leading us and teaching us as we make these steps through Regulate. Although there will always be many hardships and battles to come, God, we thank you for giving us the will to continue to regulate our way through this life. I know that throughout all of the hardships along with this battle, the advantage and its survival can always be accomplished when you regulate. Regulate all of your hardships and their battles with God. Without God, it is impossible to truly regulate. Regulate always with God. God is the supreme or ultimate reality. God is the perfect in power, wisdom, and goodness, whom men worship as creator and ruler of the universe. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, and God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness. Them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God created man in his own image, in the image of God. He created him, male and female. He created them. And the Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. For thou art great and does wonderful things. Thou art God alone. Teach me thy way, O Lord. I will walk in thy truth. Unite my heart to fear thy name. For God is the king of all the earth. Sing ye praises with understanding. God reigneth over the heathen. God sitteth upon the throne of his holiness. And I will stop there. And if you want to read farther into this, go to regulatemanual.com and get this book and read it. We've just been doted with many things in this life, so we need the many antidotes from God to overcome these issues and lifestyles.
Amen.
All right, Brother Clarence. Right on, Brother Clarence. Hey, the limousine doors are open. And without further ado, it's time for the commentary, one of the most important reviews of our show. Professor Raines, please take the floor. Give us the commentary.
May I say something, Eddie?
Yes, Vera. Vera, did you do health and wellness?
Okay. Since we don't have enough time for health and wellness, our health, our wealth, and knowledge is our power. And I will speak on health and wellness next week.
No, you can speak on health and wellness right now, and then we'll just go over just a little bit. And we will let's do health and wellness, and then we'll go right into the commentary. My bad. Go right ahead.
I'd rather hear the commentary, Eddie, because we have 2 minutes, and I would need a little more time. So I am awaiting for Professor Raines.
Well, if we go, Vera, we're going to go over, so you do have time. We're going over about 5 minutes. So go right ahead. Do health and wellness. And then we'll go to Professor Raines. Go right ahead. We do have time. Go ahead.
Okay. So today, I just want to start out by saying a disclaimer. I am not the doctor, but on the Eddie Jones Radio Talk Show, I am Dr. Granny V. And today I want to speak about chronic fatigue syndrome. And another name for it is called the Epstein-Barr virus, which is also known as EBV. And it causes chronic fatigue within the body. And it's also related to shingles, herpes, and and it is a very infectious disease. It's called mononucleosis. And with that feeling, what you will feel are a couple of different things that are familiar, we're all familiar with, because it's been going on over the past 2 years. And some of the symptoms are sore throat, fever, nausea, rash, chills, headache, body aches, swollen lymph nodes, swollen tonsils, flu-like symptoms, upper respiratory infections, and you will break out all over your body as far as your face, your arms, your legs, your genitals, and your tongue. And this is a very contagious disease. Now, mononucleosis is the infectious disease that can affect your entire body, because I did mention the different symptoms. However, it can also affect your joints, memory loss, and you will have aching muscles. Now, with the looks of this particular disease, it was mentioned back in the early 1990s, and they called it the yuppie disease. I'm not sure why, but they called it the yuppie disease, and they said it could be caught by coughing on someone, kissing, sharing food, and sexually transmitted. Now, is this another form, or is this the family of the monkeypox? Well, that's unknown. But what you can do, if you should have this particular disease or the symptoms, and it may take anywhere from 2 to 6 weeks or up to 6 months to heal from this, especially if someone has it internally. So what you can do is have plenty of garlic, sprouted veggies, cilantro, papaya, ginger, berries, celery juice, and most of all, H2O with plenty of tea, and it will be great to rest and not do anything except heal your body. And then again, as I mentioned, this is called the Epstein-Barr virus, EBV. And as I was mentioning earlier, our health is our wealth, and knowledge is our power. Have a great week, everyone. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Vera. Let's give her a big hand. We still got it through. Thank you, guys. Come on. Yes, we still got the health and wellness. Very important. Now, without further ado, on the Eddie Jones Radio Talk Show, we have actually went over just a couple of minutes. None other than Professor Reams, please take the floor. Give us the commentary.
Yes, Professor Reams.
Thank you so much, Pastor Jones, and thank you so much, Dr. Granny V, for that wonderful discussion on mononucleosis and the Epstein-Barr virus. And so in looking at the whole, I'm going to keep everything as compact as possible by doing my thank yous as I reach each person. So, Pastor Jones, thank you for the discussion of the 3.8 million renters that will be evicted, as well as the right to bear arms. And so this is the call to order, as Clarence does with Regulate the Manual, and looking to God and looking to all the gifts that he's given us is a right, and we need to put now our God's armor, because it's time that we definitely get into good trouble, as John Lewis has said. So what are we going to do? First of all, he used the word starvation, and as Dr. Granny V mentioned, we need to show kindness. We need to help the churches. We need to go out and feed those that need our help. But also we're reminded by Talana that we all have our own gifts. So the call to arms and the call to using God's armor to get in good trouble will look like whatever gifts that we've been given, let us share them with those who need them, and also be mindful of the needs and also respecting their time and space. We've dealt with the issue of the right to bear arms, and the person that was mentioned prior to that had the weapon was Philando Castile, who was shot. And we're also seeing that churches are in trouble, that school teachers are involved in being trained, and then the freedoms that comes with having gun, owning a gun is also reaping the benefits. So we have to go back to what Talana mentioned on being first, you know, grateful as the gifts that God has given us, but also be loving as we're working with these people who seem to be hurting, that their lives would be so bad that they result in homelessness, or they're having trouble with starvation, or they're having troubles with just making their rent, or having to resort to using a gun in order to resolve an issue. This also means that we have to do this with compassion. We also have to think of the others as our own. And, of course, as we've talked about with Clarence Allen's, we must be patient, kind, loving, and forgiving in the process. Melanie, Dr. Aretha reminded us of tears. As we're going through getting into good trouble, don't hesitate to shed tears, because that will be a way of fortifying and reinforcing the great work that we're going to do, because we're at this hour where getting in good trouble is what we're going to be doing for moving forward. And finally, there is the idea that Linda Goldie gave us, that when the first design came, it was made with love and it was filled with hope. And that's the area that we want to focus on, because in light of all these troubles, in light of all the problems with guns, in light of all the renters' issues and the right to bear arms and the shooting, there is still hope, because that is what God expects us to feel, be, act, and also work towards as we put on our armor, and also we get into good trouble, because it can get darkest before the dawn. But we know that when we trust in the Lord, he will never let us down. And so when Clarence Allen talked about God, his power, his love, his mercy, it just reminds us that we've been given the gift and the honor and privilege of working for him as we move to resolve these issues of starvation, of gun violence, and of renter eviction, homeless issues. So everyone, let's get ready, and let's do as the folks did before 9/11 when it happened. Let's get ready and let's rock and roll, because the good Lord has called us, and we shall answer the call in his name. And with that, I yield back to you, Pastor Jones.
All right.
As usual, every week.
Wow.
We love you all.
Well, you know, I just want to share a few. Thank you so much, Professor Reams, and thank everybody on the show, all of our co-producers and producers of the show. Thank you guys so much. Edie Way says, as always, Rose Tracy says, forever God answers me. We must be clothed in love and humility for God. I put to God be the glory. I want to shout out my buddy Ollie. I want to shout out Robinson Timberlake, that I'm grateful for all the information I receive on your show. And I thank you all for your support, and as always, a good show. Thank you so much. Just people just sending out shouts on Facebook Live. Thank everybody on Facebook Live. Thank everybody on blogtalkradio.com. And thank everybody who called in at 646-787-8064.
Thank you.
Next Monday, I'm sorry, did someone have something to say? Hello? Okay. I'm sorry, yes, go right ahead.
Just
okay.
Sending love
so,
today for you, for the platform, for providing the opportunity for all of us to be able to share wisdom with others. It is exactly how we come together, how we are able to bring more. So I pray the masses continue to listen and spread the word. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. Thank you for my daughter, Talana. Rose Tracy said, ever grateful. Elaine said, keep up the good work, Pastor. And I hope that you have been enlightened, educated, knowledgeable. I want to thank people who all came on. I want to thank Wanda and Letitia. I want to thank everyone who came on, Felita Wilson and Pastor Charles, everybody who came on, nothing but love, Minister Moni Scott, and all the people who called in, and all the people who came on Facebook Live, and all the people who went on Blog Talk Radio, and there's people listening from all over the world. So I'm sure, because let me just go to it really quick here. Let me just go to the dashboard here, I want to tell you something that you probably don't know. And I'm just going to share this with you really quick. South Korea was listening. Japan is listening. Canada is listening. The United Kingdom is listening. 84% of the United States was listening. Also, too, in Germany was listening. Let's see. France is listening. Spain is listening. Let's see. Turkey is listening. So there's other countries that listen to this show, not just America. But I thank everybody in America. I want to send a shout-out to everybody from all over the United States that listen in Arkansas, Oregon, Texas, California, Colorado, North and South Dakota, Mississippi, and Tennessee. Thank you guys so much. And as I get ready to close out, I just want to say to you, the only limit in life is the one that you put on yourself, so let there be no limits. Either we're going to stand for something or we're going to fall for anything. But the most important thing I want you to know is that the best is yet to come. Let God be your guide this week. And don't forget, the word of the week is starvation. Starvation. And the scripture of the week is Matthew chapter 21, verse 22. Matthew chapter 21, verse 22. And, of course, Cousin Vita had great commentary. But we have closed the limousine. We're getting ready to get out of here. And I just want to hear everybody say before we go, I just want to hear everybody say, praise God, hallelujah. Can y'all just say praise God, hallelujah? You can type it in on Facebook live. But can I hear y'all say
praise God, hallelujah.
Praise God, hallelujah.
Amen, amen. Blessings. Hallelujah. Okay, you guys, it's time to go. Yes?
Quick praise
yes.
And worship. Praise.
Amen. Quick
praise Him. Praise Him, praise Him, praise Him. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah, praise God. Amen, amen, amen. Praise God. My blessings flow. Well, you guys, I don't want to go, but I got to go. So I just want to thank everybody for coming on. You can join us on Facebook Live. I mean, you can join us on blogtalkradio.com. And just go to the Eddie Justice Jones Radio Show and become a member. Just go to the Eddie Justice Jones Show on blogtalkradio.com and become a member. Okay, y'all take care. I love you. We all love you. And God bless you. And whatever you do, don't let nothing and nobody steal your joy.